made. A beautiful fall morning. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I won't be here next week. It's the fifth Sunday. But the sheets for next month, Fear is a Liar, they are on the back table. If you want to go ahead and pick those up so you can be ready for the first Sunday of October. Yeah, that's here. That is just around the corner. Great to have our visitors here, all the way from San Francisco to local. If you haven't met them, please do so after services. It's always great to have you here. In 1970, the Canadian rock group, the five-man electrical band's lead guitarist, wrote the song Signs. It didn't do good that year, but in 1971, it reached number three on the U.S. Billboard chart of the Hot 100 songs, and it ranked number 24 of the songs in that year. You may or may not remember that song, but you might remember the chorus. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can you read the sign? And for some reason, that song comes into my mind every so often, and I'll sing it in my head. Now, I tried to find a picture or a slide that had all kinds of different signs, but all I could find was this one that has just traveling signs, highway signs. But you get the gist of what it is. I want to talk about signs this morning. The ones that we see are around town right now. You can't see a corner or a mound of dirt, maybe people's yards, that don't have signs of the time to remind us that in a little under a month or a little over a month, we're going to have elections. And the people are out there putting the signs and getting their names in front of you to hopefully remind you, you know, to vote, but also to vote for me, you know, this candidate. And you know, when you're driving by, you may not be able to read it, but their name is big so that you'll remember it. That's the sign of our times right now. You drive by somebody's house, our neighbor next door has got a realtor sign in the front yard. And you might not be able to see the for sale sign, but you can see that white post, you know, with a sign hanging from it, you know that that house is for sale, okay? You recognize that sign. You know, when you look at this sign, you know, if I tell you, you know, look at that top left-hand sign, the square one, the white one, and you might not recognize, you know, what it is, but you understand you're about to come up to that dreaded roundabout. You know, we all hate those things. You don't know. We were never trained on them. They just all of a sudden started appearing all over the place with no training, so nobody knows how to use them. You know, you just know that roundabout, you know, it's coming up, and it's like hopefully that person coming around in the roundabout knows how to do it. And a lot of times they'll just stop, and it's like, you're stopped. It's like, you've got the right of way, go. You know, I remember when we went to Iceland in 87, in our incoming briefing, they warned us of this big roundabout in Reykjavik. And I said, what about? You know, didn't know what they were. And there's actually five city streets that dumped into this large roundabout. And it was like four lanes wide. And they taught us, you know, and they were warning us about it because the people on your left had the left of way. And so as you pulled into this roundabout and somebody's coming around from, you know, three or four streets over and they're on your left and you're coming up on, you know, an offshoot highway street, they had the left of way. And if they had a bumper in front of you, you had to stop and let them go, then get off. You know, so people would get on, go to the center and then shoot off. And it's like, what? You know? And when I didn't realize it, and we pulled up in Reykjavik, the capital city, and it's like, ah, the roundabout. And I stayed to the right, and I got off, you know, it's just, I didn't know where I was getting off. I didn't care. I wanted off of that thing. You know, it was just, it scared me to death. And I never went back there. You know, our little one-lane ones, you know, with just two roads coming into it are bad enough. You know, but you understand it. You know, if I ask you about, let's see, top right-hand sign, flagger. You know, you understand that you're about to see somebody out there with a flag. If I say point out where a fire truck is going to be, you know, that bottom right-hand one is a fire station. Or I like the one bear crossing. You know, we don't see that too often around here. I have seen one or two. One of my favorite signs is one that I saw in Liberty Lake. It's the only place I've ever seen it. And they had to put a sign under it to explain it. But it's where the two-lane road, you know, three lanes merged into one, or two lanes, so you could get over the interstate. And it says to merge like a zipper. You know, one car and then the next car, left car, right car. You know, merge like a zipper. It's the only time and only place I've ever seen that sign, to merge like a zipper. Okay. I don't think it's there anymore because they widened up the highway there. But it was a neat sign, so I had to get a picture of it. What about a Christian? Do we have a sign? Somewhere a cross around their neck, or on a bracelet, or from their ears, to identify that they are a Christian, or at least they believe that there is a God. You know, what do we expect from someone who shows or states that they are a Christian? Now, you might have your own preconceived ideas as to what that would be. Maybe how that person will talk or treat those around them, how they react to others at work, or how they will perform at work. Do we act differently around people who know that we are a Christian than we do around people who don't know that we are a Christian? We should act the same around everyone, regardless if they know we are a Christian or not. I refer to that as having a Christian coat. You know, we act as Christians around here because we know we're Christians and how we should act. But when we leave, we take our Christianity off and we hang it up on the coat rack over there. And we go off to our worldly jobs and our neighbors and things. And we act however we want to. But then when we come back in here on Sunday morning, we take our Christianity off and we dust it off and we put it back on. And then we're Christian for an hour or two. Is that how Christianity is? Is that how we're supposed to act as a Christian? No, it's not. You know, we're supposed to be a Christian 24/7, no matter where we're at, who we're around, we're supposed to be that Christian. And I want to this morning to look at the scriptures that tell us how we act as a Christian. You know, this month we were looking at having our goal set on heaven. And we looked at how we went about that and how we live a life to that. And I want to kind of tag this onto that, those lessons, and how we achieve that as a Christian, how we need to live our life. These are verses that we should be familiar with, but are verses that we need to remind ourselves about. I want to start off this morning in my favorite chapter, or my favorite book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 to 22. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Sometimes we get fast, especially if somebody hurts our feelings or makes us mad. Okay? James is telling us to be slow as a Christian, to think before you speak. Verse 20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When you just go off half-cocked and, you know, just start blurting and saying things, you know, that you shouldn't be saying, you are not showing that righteousness of God. Verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we're going to hear a lot of scriptures this morning. We're going to hear a lot of things that we as Christians should be doing, and how we should be talking, and how we should be acting. So don't just hear it this morning and then forget about it tomorrow. You need to be doers of this word as well. In Galatians 5, verse 22 through 25. We spend a month talking about the fruit of the Spirit, so I'm not going to go over these again in detail this morning, but I want to remind us as Christians that we need to be have the fruit of the Spirit. And those fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You won't find a law, I don't think, in any books, in any law, in any city or state or country that says that you can't be gentle or you can't have self-control. Okay? Usually there are laws against the opposite. Verse 24, and those who are Christ, that's us, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And we've talked about that this month. We've looked at how the desires of the flesh are worldly, and we shouldn't be having those. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Every day, we need to be walking in the Spirit. Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32. Therefore, put away lying. Sometimes it's easier to lie than it is to tell the truth. You don't want to face the truth, the consequences of it. But Paul is telling us here to put away lying. Let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Okay, and again, your neighbor is just not the nine people that live around you. Okay, neighbor is everybody. For we are members of one another. Be angry. It's okay to be angry, but do not sin. Okay? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Again, once the devil gets in, he's going to hang on. Okay? Do not give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Continuing on in verse 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay? Do not lie, but also do not let any bad word come out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, to build people up, that it may impact grace or impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And we've been talking about that this month, that we're striving for heaven. We're striving for that day of judgment when Jesus is going to come back. So we need to be careful of what we say and how we say it. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. These are things that we're not supposed to have. With all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And we talked about that a little bit this morning in class, okay? How much God loved us that he sent his son to die on a cross for us, okay? God forgives us, we need to forgive others. What is clamor? It says here, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor. Clamor is a loud and confused noise, especially that of people shouting in a forceful, passionate, or intense manner with great feeling. Okay? We're not supposed to be doing that. And it talks about malice. Malice is the intentions or desire to do evil, ill will. Don't lie. We need to speak the truth. Control our anger. And don't give place for the devil to get into you and cause you to sin. Don't let corrupt words out of your mouth. Don't open your mouth if you are mad, because that is when you're going to say things that you will later regret. Okay? We as Christians need to be able to control ourselves. Continuing on in chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ with God. Paul continues on in how we are to talk as a Christian. No filthy or foolish or coarse jesting, that is not fitting for a Christian to speak. Instead, let thanks come out of your mouth. And sometimes it's easy to get caught up at work, and you're working with a bunch of people who do not believe in God, and they start telling jokes or talking about their weekend or whatever, and they have this coarse jesting and just bad language and everything else. And it's easy sometimes to get caught up in that. Paul is telling us we as Christians shouldn't be doing that. We need to separate ourselves from that and not participate in it, okay? That is what we as Christians need to do. In Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. And that's what we're talking about this month. We need to be setting our goal, setting our purpose for heaven. We need to be setting our things above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Again, not on things on the earth. This earth is going to go away, and everything on it. So we don't need to be putting our treasures here. We need to be putting our treasures above. Verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We need to always have our minds set on heaven. That has been our topic this whole month. We need to be living our daily lives as a Christian should, regardless of who is looking on. We must be ready for when Jesus appears to take us home to heaven. Drop it down to verse 12 in Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. Okay, Christians, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. And above all things, put on love. That's what we talked about this morning in class, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. This is how we as Christians must live our daily lives, not only when we are around other Christians, but when we are out in the world. We must wave that invisible Christian sign all day, every day. It is hard at times. Yes, it is. But we must do the best we can to let our Christian light shine. We do this by letting the peace of God rule in our lives. Let God control our lives. Let us live by the scriptures and not by the world. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17, continuing on in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the word of Christ, let the scriptures that we are reading this morning dwell in you daily. Notice that we don't keep God's word locked up inside of us. We don't keep our lips closed to his good news. No, we are to teach and admonish one another. We do this in singing hymns to the Lord. That's what we've been doing this morning with our songs and spiritual songs and singing with grace. We do that to God. Whatever you do, in word or in deed. In other words, everything. everything that you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. By doing that, you will be giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus, his Son. Our last scripture this morning is found in Romans 6, verses 11 through 14. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. We've talked about this, that we should not be practicing sin. We're all sinners. We're all going to sin. But we should not be practicing sin where that's something that we do every day, like a doctor is practicing medicine every day. Okay? We should not let sin reign in our bodies, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Do not present your body as righteousness to unrighteous to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Your body is an instrument to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Okay? This is how we should be living our life daily, for God. The comedian Bill Engvall has probably made millions off of his comedy routine of, well, here's your sign. I'm sure we've all heard it. He would tell of stupid things that people do or say, here's your sign. Okay. We as Christians shouldn't need a physical sign to tell people who we are. They should be able to identify us by what we say, how we treat others, and what we do with our lives. How we act or react to troubles or hard times in our Christian life shows that we are a Christian. We don't have to have a cross. You shouldn't have to tell people that you're a Christian, that you go to church. They should be able to tell that you are a Christian by how you walk, how you talk, how you treat others. Okay? That's our sign that we are a Christian. We read last week in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, that we are Christ's light in the world and that we can't hide that light. Our Christian light needs to be a neon sign showing everyone around us that we are a Christian. What does your Christian sign say about you every day of your life? Does it state that you are a Christian? Or do you find yourself fighting every day to be a true Christian? Or does your light only illuminate that you are a Christian when you're around other Christians? We need to change that, if that's the case. We need to be a Christian all the time. We need to let our Christian light shine all the time. We need to let the world know that we are a Christian. We need to keep our goal set on heaven, like we've talked about this whole month, and we need to live our life in such a way that we make it to heaven and that we take as many people as we can with us. If there's any way that we can help you this morning in that goal, let us know. Let us help you. If you need prayers from your family, we are here for that. We can help you. We can encourage you. We can pray for you. Or maybe you haven't put on Christ, and that's something that you realize that you need to do today. We can take care of that problem. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, please let us know as together we stand and sing.